Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the Guys of Coppin' Crackers.
The longest wait, a generation on and more, for the 19th time in their history, for the first time in the Premier League.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Coppin' Crackers. I'm joined here today with a few friends of mine. Fortunate enough to call them friends. That is Fahi. Hello, how are you doing, mate? Anik, you're here as well. I'm not going to ask you how are you doing because we have someone very, very special here in our midst today. look, I'm going to give him a bit of a spiel to get him a bit gassed up. So obviously, most recently, he's seen working with 888 Sport, obviously from Redmen TV, and of course, his very own channel, informally known as the Sadio Mane guy. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you James Redmond. How are you, mate?
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on the channel, boys. I appreciate you having me. The Sadio Mane guy, that is what I am. Do you know when I went to town last year, yeah? Like, when everywhere was open and whatnot, and I'd be going to town, I'd be like, oh, like, people would see me, right? And they'd be like, oh my God. Not everyone, but like the people who'd like go on the internet and whatnot, they'd see me and they'd be like, oh my God, aren't you the Sadio Mane kid? Oh my days, lad, you're sick, you. This, that, and the other. This was before, right? I was even regularly posting on YouTube and whatnot. So if you want, you can call me James Redmond. James is a new one that people have been calling me. Sadio Mane guy, Sadio Mane agenda, whatever you want to call me, my mate, you go for it.
Excellent.
Yo, and no, James, super quick question. I just really want to know, at what point did you realise, yo, I need to start my own YouTube channel?
So, the video. So, right, it's not like being a lifelong dream to do YouTube. Let me get that out the way first. But one thing that I will say is when I used to watch Redmen quite a bit, and I used to watch quite a few of the fan channels. And I was thinking one day after the game, I got like, because it was the Hoffenheim game, and I've been on there once or twice, but this one was like, you know, this was Champions League football, boys. Like, Champions League was back today, what I'm saying. So I was thinking to myself, yeah, I'm going to go on if we win this game and whatnot. Well, actually, no one ever, that's a lie. It was the Wolves game earlier on, but the interview about Mane, this was when we won the game. I was like walking past and I was just going to have a little nose in, see what they were all up to and that. And then I sort of just ended up getting caught in the mix of things and then just sort of got more pushed over towards camera. And I was just ended up just chatting shit on camera pretty much. I was just pushed in with Paul. Me and him were chatting to each other about the game. I was just made up with your back in Champions League football. And what was said was what was said. Anyway, that leads to probably about a year after that, I'd probably say, is when I started thinking about a YouTube channel. And then the channel now is about 2 years old, but I only really started posting at the start of this season. So, kind of like that's a story of Balamori in that aspect. So.
Excellent. Okay, cool. And before we get into the actual game and all things Liverpool, how are you? How's life? How have you been coping with things in the pandemic?
You know what, lads? As good as things can be. It's one of them things. No one's life's perfect, are they? So, you've just got to kind of adapt to the situation that you're in. Kind of just make do with what you've got. And to be honest with you, for me, it's a blessing. So I can kind of say, like, you know, this lockdown helped me because it just allowed me to focus on content and whatnot. But there's other things that have gone wrong. But like I said, that's with everyone, mate. So anyone who's watching this show as well, honestly, best wishes to you, man, because it's most important to just stay as sane as you can in these times when you're just stuck in between four walls, essentially. But hopefully, we can all start going out soon, start seeing each other again, giving each other cuddles and whatnot. But until then, I feel like it's just going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. And what's the first thing you're doing once we are allowed to be set free? Because I was on your Twitter account. I was like, okay, James has been retweeting this that new Twitter account that's counting down the days until we're free. So I was like, okay, so maybe you got an idea of what's the first thing you're doing once we're free.
I'm just seeing people, bro. Like, genuinely, I'm a people's person. So, like, I want to just go out and I want to just interact, because it's one of them things where I'm, even though, like, I've spent, obviously, the past year by myself in this room and I've coped okay, I am someone who prefers being outside, and I don't know, I'll probably just hit town or something up, mate, you know what I mean, where everyone's just going to be happy, even people who hate each other, because they're just going to be pissed. It's going to be one of them things where they're just all loving each other and they're just being happy. Mate, that's what I'm on them type of vibes, boys. I don't know about yous, they're the type of vibes that I'm on, though. So
that first Saturday night in Concert Square is going to be crazy, mate.
And boys, I don't know if you've had a night out in Liverpool, but you know, yeah, it's we know. Levels, mate. It's level. There's only a few places that can match in England, so.
Honestly, for the first 5 minutes, I'm most excited to record this podcast, I tell you.
Do you know what? What are yous doing when we get out of all this?
Cool.
Brother, you know, a trim. I need a haircut.
Yeah, don't even chat to me about a haircut, bruv.
Yeah, I need a haircut, mate. So that's what I'm doing.
Go on, Eric. What are you doing?
I'm getting a haircut straight away, and then I'm going
we're
out.
Having a link up in the barbers, the boys. Yes.
and then after that, I'm probably gonna go out and enjoy myself. Oh, I just can't wait to just go out.
Shisha bar, definitely, Anik.
Yeah.
Anik is going straight to the shisha bar. That's the first place he's going to. but yeah, yes. Same as you guys, yeah. Barbers as well. Okay, anyway, moving on. So Liverpool recorded a Premier League win for the first time since the 28th of February, where we beat Sheffield United. We won 1-0 away to Wolverhampton. Diogo Jota became the second player to score both for and against Wolves. The first player, Stephen Hunt. Well done if you got that. Guys, we lined up in the very same way we did against Leipzig. So that was Kabak and Phillips getting their third game together at centre-half. Jota, Mane, Salah up front. The midfield three of Fab, Gini and Thiago. So, yep. Anik, I'm going to start with you, pal. Were you happy with that lineup? Were you upset certain players didn't get in? What were your thoughts?
No, in all honesty, I was so happy with that lineup. If it was anything else from that lineup, I would have been very, very upset, because we saw glimpses against Leipzig with especially Fabinho. Having him there as the six, that shield in front of the centre-backs, that's what I wanted. I was so happy that he was in midfield. I was so happy that we're playing centre-backs at centre-back. In initial thoughts, we're really happy. Obviously, Bobby, I don't think he was past fit, so Jota was up top. And I think we even discussed it. Yeah, allegedly, yeah. We even discussed it prior to the game that I felt Jota will make an impact. He looked, obviously, we're going to touch on the game a bit. I had a feeling that he'll be, you know, buzzing around, like a live wire that he is. Initial thoughts on the team sheet, I was very happy. I was very confident. I wouldn't have changed anything in regard to the lineup. So sweet. Yeah, very, very happy on that front.
Sweet. And James, Anik touched on something there I wanted to mention up as a sub question. How good is it to see Fabinho back in the six in midfield?
Oh, mate, it's the best thing that you're ever going to see since sliced bread, boys. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. It's like, I'm just thinking to myself, going through this season, it's not being ideal when it comes to injuries. And now, I've been screaming it for months. I don't know about you, boys, but I've been screaming for months now that, like, you know, Fabinho at centre-back, even though as a player, he's always going to do a good job. Why? Because he's a world-class fucking player. It's what they do. You put them in a different... Henderson, world-class player. World-class. So if you put him in a different position, he's going to do the job. Do you hear what I'm saying, though, boys? Like, seriously. Yeah,
you're right.
Like, it's one of them things where you're putting pieces in the different part of the puzzle, essentially, and that's always going to just end bad. So when we finally solve that problem, even Klopp said after the game, wow, Fabinho's been wanting to play CDM. Like, no doubt he's been wanting to play there because he's the best in that position. So, I'm buzzing. And do you know what I'm most happy about? That it weren't just like a one-off. And he's sticking with it. And, you know, the reason why I've been screaming it as well is because Matip was always, do you get what I'm saying? We knew we had three centre-backs. So, Virgil van Dijk, Joe Gomez and Joel Matip. Them two go out, and then you've got Joel Matip left, then he goes out. So now we've left with Reece Williams, who's kind of proven he's not ready for this level and not really close. Yeah. Then you've got Nath Phillips, who's overachieved compared to what we probably thought he was going to end up being like, especially from his early games. And then you've got Kabach, who we brought in from loan, and Ben Davies, but he's been injured as well. So realistically, the only options you've got there is Ben Davies, Nath Phillips and Kabach. Not a top four defence, let alone, not a title defence, let alone top four defence, or even a top six defence. Mate, that's not even a Premier League defence at the start of the season. At the start of the season, it's not. So, we're going into every game with these centre-backs, and because that's on paper, the worst-case scenario, because our centre-backs are shit. No, in fact, we're benefiting more getting a solid fucking defensive-minded player who's world-class, in case I haven't already mentioned, in front of them, who gives them the confidence of, oh, no, there's actually someone good who can lead us the way in this game. And then the midfield is in front of them, Thiago and Gini, gives them the freedom to go up the pitch. So Fabinho in the number six solves so many problems. The only reason why it's a little bit shit as well is because we're now going to realise he's now our most important player. That it's Mo Salah or whatever, but even with Jota coming back now, Mo Salah, even though we still need him and we still need to rely on his goals and numbers, that can't be denied, Jota will also now bring them numbers and goals. So when you look at the most important thing that keeps everything together, it's Fabinho right in the middle of that team.
Yeah, agreed. And yeah, we were echoing that as well. We were saying, play centre-half and centre-half and play your midfielders in midfield. And let's just see how it works. Look, we've lost six in a row at home. What's the worst that can happen, right? Cool. And obviously, we're reaping the dividends now. So that's great. Fahy, I'm going to ask you, mate. So we've gone past the lineup. We're happy with it. Well, we're as happy as we can be with it, let's say. We go into the game against Wolves. Should they have had a penalty in the first couple of minutes when Alisson clears out Semedo?
I mean, listen, let's be real. If that was on us, we would have been complaining night and day about it. So I think Alisson was a bit clumsy with what he was doing in terms of trying to retrieve the ball. Obviously, from the ref's point of view, if you actually watched it back, the ref had the whistle in his mouth. Like, he was ready to blow and then he stopped. He thought about it. It was like, nah, it's only been a minute. Then we just continue. And then VAR didn't do anything. I think we got away with one. I've seen there's been a debate about whether it should have been or whether it shouldn't have been. Either way, it doesn't matter. It didn't happen. So, yeah, in my opinion, we got lucky because that should have been a pen. And if it was on us, we would have all said that should have been a pen.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed for sure. James, how about you? What were your thoughts on that penalty incident?
To be honest with you, I can't remember it. What was the situation again? What was the setting?
So, essentially, it was like the first couple of minutes of the game. I can't remember who plays the ball from the left-hand side, but they whip in across to the right-hand side and Semedo comes running in, their right back.
And Alisson
clears him out after dropping the ball.
But didn't he shoot?
He did, but then Alisson dropped the ball and as he went to go collect it, he just cleared out Semedo and completely missed it and gave away, he didn't give away anything at all, but the referee was like, you know what, leave it.
Nah.
That's as convinced as you're gonna get. Okay, cool. Well, I will stay with you because I do want to chat about one of your favorite guys, Sadio Mane. He was he looked like a real live wire in that first half. He looked sharp and like he was ready to. He was someone who's actually going to make the opening for us in that first half. Unfortunately, it looked like when he got in front of goal, his lack of confidence showed quite a lot. But how do you think his first half went?
First half wise from Mane, I thought it was sound. I mean, listen, it's one of them things where if you're comparing it to results that we've saw over recent weeks, for example, then maybe it looks better and it looks good. But for Mane's standards, it's not good enough. He hasn't been playing well enough for weeks. He's been the worst player of the front three over February at the very least, but there's even a shout for the season. A lot of people will throw Bobby there, but to be honest with you, yeah, besides the first opening stage of the season where he had the game against Chelsea and a few other games where Mane was doing well, I haven't really saw much where Mane's been able to get a consistent run of games together. At least Bobby has been able to sort of like come in and out of games, you know. He's still like, Bobby isn't always just he needs to get a goal to have a good game. Bobby actually has very good games without getting goals, whereas Mane, he can also do that, but he hasn't been doing that recently. So the goals will kind of cover over that slighter thing. That being said, if you're going to take positives, that was one of his better performances that we saw in weeks. So We can sit here all we want and we can say, oh, Mane's been shit. At the end of the day, we only want him to get better. And I've been saying drop him. I've been saying give him a rest. You know, how many things is it, boys, that you use, that you use every single week or every single day for 3 or 4 years straight, and it's going to keep working to its full potential after them 3 or 4 years? It doesn't work in any aspect. In fact, I feel like that's evidently shown as well when you saw who was the two players in yesterday's game who was pressing the most. Jota and Thiago, two new players who have came into a new system that haven't been having to suffer what all these other motherfuckers have been over the past few years. So you look at Mane and he looks like he's lost that sort of yard of pace. So now you drop him, you give him a new challenge, and you see how he adapts to that, because that's what makes a world-class player. What, stay in the team when there's no competition? Let's see what it's like now that you've got competition. Like, I love Mane. Oh my God, he's my G, but no one's guaranteed for places. Even when Trent was playing shit, I was thinking, get Milner there or get Nico there, because Trent doesn't look like he's going to get better. Thankfully, he proved me wrong, but still he needed to be dropped for a game or two. Nico came in and sort of gave him just sort of an eye-opener, but again, we need competition if we want to stay up top. So for Mane, I mean, I know you only asked me about his first half, but it was better, but it still weren't vintage Mane. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, agreed. Anik, I'm going to come to you because off the back of what James said, you did notice in that front three, obviously we set up with Mane on the left, Jota through the middle, and Salah on the right. And I saw a lot. There were interchanges between Jota and Mane. So you'd see them switch from left wing to striker and vice versa. But Salah always stayed out on the right. How did you think the front three were in that first half? And how good did Jota take his goal on striker part?
So I was really happy that I was seeing some interchange there between the front three. I've been saying that for a long, long time. I need to see the interchange there. I need to see some synergy, some movement between the three. So it's good to see that happening between Jota and Mane. I think the fact that Salah was stuck out onto the right-hand side was to isolate their left-back. I don't think he done enough for me, especially in that first half, to make enough of an impact. Now, I know James touched on the Mane point. I think one thing that I just want to come back to on that, I think Mane's in-game decision-making yesterday just wasn't good enough. When he got slipped through one-on-one, he could have done that vintage sort of inside finesse finish that he'd done against Everton when the ball was crossed in from Trent. Why he went with his head, I have no idea. We've seen him sort of chest that down and lash it in, similar to the goal he scored against United. And then I think there was a chance on the break yesterday when he could have passed it to Salah, and I think it was like a counter-attack towards the end, and his decision-making wasn't really there. So I wanted to touch on that.
But Alec, in terms also, of... Sorry to cut you off. Yep. A little bit before that, so that first chance you got slipped through by Genie, he tried to round the keeper. How often do we see Mane round the keeper? Like, can you even... I can't even give you, like, a few goals where he's rounded the keeper. He normally just slots or dicks it.
So I just remember his vintage finishes. And, you know, I'm sure he scored one against Everton where he just comes in and just tucks it round, opens his foot out. And I just don't know what he was trying. I just think his decision-making just should have been better. Even the cross from Trent. Like, I've seen him collect that and just lash it in, you know, and the goal against United a couple of years ago springs to mind. But it's just his decision-making that I was just really, really disappointed with yesterday. But hey-ho, look, coming back to the front three, you know, we saw for the goal yesterday, there was some interchange and some movement between them. You know, Salah passed it to Mane. Mane, okay, he flicked it out to Jota. And Jota hit it first time, which I thought was really good. It was different. I was speaking to someone yesterday. He said he may not have meant for it to go in that corner, that he might have sliced it or whatever. I haven't seen it back properly. But the fact that he struck it first time gave the opposition goalkeeper something different to think about. I think we're sometimes going forward too slow in getting that shot away. Now, agreed. Jota lashed it. I think it caught the keeper by surprise. I still think the keeper probably should have saved it, but it was a well-taken finish. We move on the back of that. In terms of the front three, I want to see, again, a bit more interchange between them. I want to see, like, 17-18 Liverpool. Like, the way we are right now, we might as well just go for a bit more attacking prowess up front. And I think there's a lot there to work with. Let's pray that coming back from the international break, no one gets injured. I think there's a lot there to work with. I think Jota just gives such a different dimension to us going forward. He was like a wasp up front yesterday. He was chasing everything. He was running back. He was getting involved everywhere. I seen him picking up the ball from midway through our half and, you know, carrying it forward. It was just really nice to see him in the middle, even on the left-hand side, making such a difference. So, yeah, I think there's a lot there to work with. But, yeah, we still got to keep our feet on the ground. But, yeah, I was very happy with the front three.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point there on Jota. I think Jota gives Salah and Mane a really good kick up their backside. I think he really shows them, like, look, I'm playing at this intensity. You need to match me. Otherwise, you won't be getting the ball. Like, you need to keep up with me. Unfortunately, what we've seen recently of Firmino, even in his average position, this is more of a midfielder nowadays. But you see Jota, he's so much closer to the opposition goal. And it's great to see. So that was the first half. We get a goal at the stroke of halftime. Perfect time to get a goal. In recent weeks, I think we've seen the importance of the opening goal in a football game and how much it opens up the opposition and how things from there are usually much easier. But the second half was, honestly, it was just pinball. We didn't seem like to get much control of the ball. It was going back and forth. There really wasn't much of anything to talk about, in all honesty. We did see a couple of failures from Adama Traore on the right hand side. He tried himself on the right hand side through the middle and on the left.
He actually done well yesterday, though. Adama Traore was. Do you know, if I was a Wolves fan, I would have been so frustrated watching Adama Traore, because it's been this problem. Also, it's not that he's not a good player. People say he's shit. He's not shit. He's actually better than a lot of people getting into the final third. The reason yes, oh, 100%. But what makes him shit is that end product. If there's nothing that's going to come at the end of it, then it's all pointless. It's like making you, whatever the world's nicest ice cream is, it's like making you taste that, but spitting it out. Do you get what I mean? Like, if you can't actually fucking eat it, if you can't eat it, then it makes no sense. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he gets there, and the just lack means of
him
fuck
doesn't help him.
It's just a tease. It's a strip tease, boys. That's all Adama Traore. He's a strip teaser. He gets there at the end, gets to the final part. Sayonara. We get the clothes back on. Do you know what I mean? It's not getting hot in here.
Not today.
That was some of the most unique analogies I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not
agree.
The greatest with them, I'm not gonna lie, but
you get the point.
I like them, mate. But yeah, so like I was saying, the second half there wasn't really much that happened at all. But Faye, I want to ask you this, because we echo the same thoughts on Kabak so far. However, in my own opinion, I think this was the best performance I've seen of him so far in a Liverpool shirt. What do you make of him today? Do you think there is any possibility? Are you any closer to thinking that we should exercise the option to buy?
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm not going to discuss it until 10 games in, so I'm not going to make that opinion as of yet. What I will say is he has steadily improved as weeks have gone on. I think there are reasons why he steadily improved, and I think that's because he is not the main man and centre-back. Now, he is playing as like a number two in defence, so Phillips is leading. And then Kabak is beside him, kind of cleaning up. And that is what he's good at doing. Like, he just silently gets on with his job. Do you get what I mean? Like, he reads danger. Phillips is the one that will attack from the front. And he will go for the ball. He will make challenges in the middle of the pitch. And Kabak is there, kind of just looking after the areas, right? He cleans up when he needs to. He did impress me yesterday. He was very good. I still do worry when he gets dragged into a channel. Because I know it was Adama Traore, but with most half-decent footballers, he's going to get ran past, unfortunately. I don't think he actually has the pace in him to deal with the intensity of the Premier League and the pace of the Premier League yet. So I think his reading of the game has to be A1 moving forward. And I saw improvements on that yesterday. His passing was very good yesterday. He was positive with his passing yesterday. You can see the confidence in him. And you could also see that he understands where everyone's going to be. Like, he's getting an idea now of, okay, I can ping it to the right-hand side. Salah is going to be there in that exact same spot. Like, he knows exactly the positioning of his teammates. And it's good to see the improvement that we've seen so far. In terms of, what happens in the season, there's a lot to be discussed. I feel as if what's going to end up happening is Nat Phillips is going to play himself into such a good way that he is going to get himself into the transfer market, bring in 10 to 15 mil, and that money is going to pay for Kabak. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I think Kabak's transfer actually depends on Nat Phillips being sold. But yeah, we'll see how Kabat does. We'll see how Kabat does. And I know James seems a bit shocked by Phillips potentially being sold or anything, but I just don't see him having a future at the club. Not because of his ability or anything like that. He wants to be playing regularly. I don't think it's viable for him to be kind of fighting for a place next season. So I think this is the season for him to kind of impress everyone, the Burnleys, the West Hams of the league, and then try and get a move. But that's ultimately it.
Cool. And James, I haven't heard your opinion on Kabak just yet. What are your thoughts on him so far? Are you impressed? What do you think of him yesterday? Yeah, and do you think it's probably more likely that we exercise that option to buy?
I think we will. I think we will. Do you want me to tell you an insight of what our new signings are going to be this summer?
Go on.
Are you ready for this? And this isn't a prediction, it's a spoiler, by the way, so get ready, boys. Kabach, Harvey Elliott, Harry Wilson, who else? Wait there, who else? Because we've got a few more players. Grujic is going to be a new signing. Matt Phillips is basically already a new signing. Ben Davies will be counted because we only got him in January. So he'll put... When we ask FSG, how many signings have you made recently? They're counting Ben Davies, and they're not going to put BTEC in front of it. They're going to just say Ben Davies. Anyway, what else are they going to sign? That's going to be their signings. I'm not confident this summer, mate. I'm really, really not. It's one of them things.
I think you have reason not to be confident, though. You have, on past windows, look, when do we ever really take the impetus and, like, you know what? We need to have a proper clear out and we go again. We always have
to
wait
until we're winning the trophies. So in a moment where we're most likely not even going to get Europe, what are we going to do without that extra funds? Like, seriously, what are we going to do? And expect, a significant amount of improvement when we've got the squad that we have.
But what do you make of Kabak then so far, at least?
Kabak, do you know what, mate? I've been a fan of Kabak. I've been saying to people, like, at the end of the day, you've got to look at a player for what you expect of them. People say, why did FSG get Kabak? That's a fair enough question. I don't know why they ended up getting Kabak. Maybe because it was one of the more easier options, as one, they were scouting him for quite a long time. But you've got to bear in mind, when he was being scouted, it's one of them things where, like, even though he was being scouted and whatnot, like, he's being scouted for a fourth choice centre-back. He's not being scouted for anything else. Yeah. He's not coming in for the first team. He's 20 years of age. He's got to develop. So I feel like we've got more of a long-term option there with Kabach. And I feel like he's done all right so far. I feel like we're going to see more of a similar type of sound performances all season. Him and Phillips are becoming like yin and yang. So, listen, I'm not one to say he's going to be world-class in any way, shape or form, but for what I expected to this point, he's exceeding them expectations, so I'm all right with him.
Yeah, he's doing well and he's improving every game. I think there's little for us to complain about that. He's getting a partnership with Nat Phillips well. So yeah, happy days. Anik, I'm going to ask you, from one of the new members to one of the... I can't even imagine I'm calling him an old head at the age of 22, 23. Trent Alexander-Arnold. Whenever he has an awful defensive display, everyone goes up in arms. Oh, he's terrible. He can't defend this and that. But whenever he does have a good defensive display, no one ever knows. No one ever sings about his praises. But how good was Trent Alexander-Arnold yesterday?
Fantastic. I can't say any more about his defensive performance yesterday. The ops were waiting. They were waiting to say, Neto pocketed Trent. They had him on toast the whole game. Nah. Nothing like that. I think he played really well. I think it was actually a very mature performance from Trent.
Yeah.
I think he was disciplined in going forward. I think he was very disciplined in knowing when to track back as well. I suppose if there's one thing I could have picked out, maybe that synergy there between him and Salah could have been a bit better going forward. But I think he was instructed to stay back and sort of cut off the danger that was Pedro Neto. There was also that penalty shout, I think, with Moutinho, but I don't think he'd done anything wrong there. In summary, I was really happy with Trent's performance yesterday. I think it was really good. Everyone on the socials were quiet about Trent. You know, what do they call him? Tiana Trent or whatever. Yeah, none of that. We saw none of that. So we were happy with his performance. Can't say much on that.
Yeah, he was. He was great. He was great. And so was Robbo. I think Robbo was back to his best. He was looking brilliant. I didn't see Adama get past him all game. I thought Robbo was fantastic. But yeah, that's what we expect from our fullbacks. That's why they are so good. Okay, cool. So that was a 1-0 away win against Wolves. There were some bits of annoyances towards the end, obviously. Prayers up to Rui Patricio, and obviously he's now fully conscious, as confirmed by Nuno. So yeah, hopefully he gets better soon. Obviously it's a second massive head injury they've had this season. But yeah, a good away win up in Chris's ends and Wolves. Cool. From that, I'm gonna rewind a bit. I'm gonna go back to a report that came out earlier this week from The Athletic. The Athletic did a really good job. The good men at Athletic did a really good job in putting together like a well-written overall synopsis of our season so far, from injuries to goals of our front three to things going on off the pitch with Alisson and Klopp and the personal issues that they were having. Really, really well written. And there was, in like a 5,000 word article, there was about like a one liner or a two liner about Mane and Salah, and how there's a bit of basically just speaking exactly what we already know, in all honesty, just saying that they're not the best of friends. There is like they're sleeping
with each other's wives. That's what it comes across as, with the way they compact with the amount they pass to each other.
Yeah, and then there's just loads of hullabaloo. That's the biggest way to say it. I saw I forget the game, but Joe Cole was covering it at halftime. It might have been the Chelsea game. Joe Cole was was it Joe Cole or Mike Owen? I can't remember that for the life of me.
Must have been one of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, one of them. They at half time they were like, "Oh, why isn't Mane going down for penalties? It must be because he doesn't want to give Salah the chance to score." Michael Owen. I was like, "What are you?"
I get what you mean, but I said that, you know.
Oh, did you?
Yep, I said that for one of the. There was a moment where he went round the goalkeeper. There was a moment in the game, though, where the goalkeeper kind of just got a full-on hand to his boot, and it actually touched his boot, but he stayed up. And I'm not
Sheffield
one
United.
To... Was it?
Was it?
No, was it? It was Wolves. Nah, it was a moment. Nah, it was definitely in a moment yesterday.
Oh, last game. Oh, yeah.
Like, this is what I mean. So, like, there was a moment in that game where I felt like Mane should have gone down, and he didn't go down, and it actually would have got a penalty. It would have benefited us more as a team if we got that penalty in that situation. Salah would have most certainly gone down, and people will say, oh, they're divers, but at the end of the day, welcome to the fucking modern game. You've got to give yourself the best possible chance. It's not cheating. It's the thing that everyone has to do to get a fucking penalty. No one, most of the challenges we see for penalties, most of them, the players, if they tried, they could stay up from them challenges. They go down because they know it certifies a penalty, or it's most certainly going to create some sort of controversy with the referee and the decision he's going to make. So it's that type of thing where go down if you get clipped. Don't do it so blatantly. Like if literally they haven't touched yet and they're just getting closer to you, don't just go down for no reason. But at the end of the day, if the ball's going out wide and you see and the goalkeeper touches you and you're not clear one-on-one on goal, then you shouldn't have to really worry about them situations and you should just go down. That's what you're being taught to do as well nowadays. So
There have been a couple of instances. It's been a bit strange. There was one where Mane rounds Christensen and he sticks out his leg at home against Chelsea. And I'm like, why didn't you go down? Against Sheffield United on the left-hand side, I think it might have been Baldock who came in with a very late tackle. He doesn't go down. Yesterday against Wolves, he doesn't go down. I don't know what he's playing at. There's only one time in my whole time of watching Liverpool in my life I've seen us get a penalty from someone not going down. And that was when David Luiz pulled back Salah at home against Arsenal last season when we won 3-0. That's the only time I've ever seen, or 3-1 rather. That's the only time I've ever seen it happen. You have to go down to get a penalty. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, back to the overall question. Fahy, I'll start with you. What do you make of that one-liner from The Athletic? Do you think more is being made of the Mane versus Salah thing? Do you think they're sleeping with each other's wives? Don't answer that. do you think a lot more is going on like behind the scenes that we don't know of? Or what are your thoughts, mate?
All right. I'm trying to work out how to word this without being flogged myself on social media tomorrow. All right. So with Salah versus Mane, right, I feel as if it's competitive rivalry, right? I don't feel as if, again, we don't know. We're not in the changing rooms. But I don't see somewhere where a couple of players where I think, they really dislike each other. Do you get what I mean? I think it's purely competitive. I think they both want to be the main players in the attacking unit of the team. Salah started off really well in his first couple of seasons. Then Mane took over. Do you get what I mean? The love for Salah kind of disappeared for a bit. Salah felt a bit unloved. It was obvious he felt like that. And now this season, Salah's getting that love again. Mane's not performing as well. Mane's frustrated. He's seeing Salah scoring 17, 18 goals. Mane's on like 8 or 9 in the Premier League, right? So that there's a massive difference. There's a massive gap. Yeah. And if I'm Mane, Anik is Salah, I'm seeing Anik doing all this stuff. I'm like, rah, I'm supposed to be his equal. We're supposed to be level. I'm falling behind. I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to be snatching. I'm going to be doing whatever I can. I'm going to be selfish because I want to make up that gap. And I think that's kind of what's happened. Now, the Athletic reporting on it, right? The issue with the Athletic reporting on it, they are allowed to say whatever they want. There's no issue in that. The problem with the Athletic sometimes is they report on things like Salah sulking and stuff like that, but they don't report on the full team. So sometimes it feels as if they're picking on said player, but they're not reporting on everyone else. So when they're discussing Salah sulking after a sub, cool, he did sulk after a sub. Most players do. Most world-class players do sulk after a sub. It's not a big issue. James Milner did the same thing. Jordan Henderson did the same thing, but you're not reporting on it. Trent did the same thing. You're not reporting on it. So the issue a lot of people had with that article was it just felt as if they were just ganging up on Salah, or they were just trying to put a dark cloud over those two. Whereas really and truly, if you want to report on it properly, the entire team have had issues, but you're reporting on the most negative thing and talking about Salah. And I think that's what the main issue was. But in terms of Salah versus Mane, I think it's purely competitive. It's really not as deep as people make out. Listen, throughout the years of football, I've been watching football since the mid-90s. Andy Cole and Teddy Sheringham used to hate each other. They absolutely hated each other, but they played brilliantly together. Do you really think in every team, all these players have liked each other? Suarez and Sturridge never liked each other. That was clear as day. Yeah. Now, the new fans on Twitter are like, oh, but no one used to report on that. Yes, they did. They constantly used to report on it. It was clear as day they did not like each other. Mm. Any of us at that age range, we remember that being reported all the time. We all knew about it. It was reported on. But like the new age Twitter fans, they all think, oh, it's just a new thing being kind of discussed. No, it isn't. Like, this has been reported on before. Suarez and Sturridge had the same thing. Salah's getting more of the treatment now because we're a bigger brand. We're a bigger club now. Like, in terms of the amount of eyes on us, everyone's eyes are on us again. So when you're the champions, there's going to be more reports on you. They're going to discuss more stuff. The Athletic could have done it better. They definitely could have done it better. And they could have responded to the criticisms better. But overall, I really don't think it's as deep as it's been made out to be. Sorry for the rant. I just had to get this over and done.
No, it's good.
I've been reading this shit for like 4 days now. It's actually pissing me off.
The end of the day, if they were scoring goals, none of this is getting talked about.
Exactly.
None of it, because they're scoring goals and they're doing what they need to do. But because they're having a dip of form, it's the perfect opportunity to get clicks. It's 2 + 2 = 10.
Yeah,
do you get what
I'm
saying? And that's the way people like to sort of look at it.
But I suppose on that point, though, I want to raise that. Look, even if there is a competitive rivalry, even if it is beyond the football pitch, I don't want it to affect our performances on the pitch. Now,
I'm sorry,
if those
Andy, but that's what's happening. That was happening before. Remember the Merseyside derby when Mane decided not to square it to Salah? This has been happening for a long time. This is nothing new. So I don't know why it's such a big thing now.
Yeah, but the fact that, as James touched on it, the fact that we're not delivering at the moment on the pitch blows up and exaggerates the issue more.
But the rumours have been circulating for a while, though. That's the thing. Like, I've heard this before, even when they're both doing well. Now it's just really coming to the surface because we're not winning. Like that, because I have heard this before. Like, I've heard it just, I thought it was bollocks, don't get me wrong. But now you can kind of see maybe sometimes, but at the end of the day, mate, it's not like they're fighting each other, and it's not like that they are gonna. It's not like they have actually slept with each other's wives. At the end of the day, won't be that deep.
We hope.
We fucking hope so, at least. Otherwise, that may affect it. Yeah. You're not getting them. You're not getting. I'm not giving you an assist, mate. You already had an assist from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay. Look. Let's move past this. Before we make it. I just realised what James has said. That's it. But yeah, I do agree with Fahy's summary. A mountain's been made up of molehill. It's okay. Players don't have to like each other. Do you like everyone in your workplace? No, you don't. Okay, cool. It's fine. You just get on with it and you produce results. Let's move on. But yeah, anyway, from Mane versus Salah to a Sadio Mane deep dive. Obviously, we can't have the Sadio Mane guy. We can't have the Sadio Mane legend. We can't have Mr. James Redmond TV on without talking about Mr. Sadio Mane. Guys, Sadio Mane, in all comps in the last couple of seasons, so 18-19 and 19-20, he managed to average a goal every other game. However, in this season, in all competitions, he's averaging a goal every 3 games. Doesn't seem like a lot, but that is a big drop-off. Aside from that, he is averaging, and this is the most damning stat I saw, he is averaging his lowest goals and assists since he started his career at Metz in League 2 in the 2011-2012 season. That is 10 years ago. What on earth, James, is gone wrong with Sadio Mane this year?
How many things, and I'm going to say it again, how many things have you used for the past 3 or 4 years that you're still using to this day that still works 100%? I just want to, and I'll ask every single person who's in the jury here that question, please present me an answer that is actually logistical to when I ask that. That's going to be working the exact same. The exact same from when you first got it. Do you get what I'm saying? It's one of them things where there isn't really many things that can do that without at least repairing it. Mane needs, for me, a repair. How do you do that? For me, you drop him. You drop him. You give him a different hunger. One thing that he's probably had since that League 2 in Metz, and then he went on to his next club, then he joined Southampton, then he joined Liverpool. What he's had throughout all of them is he weren't the main man when he first went into them teams. He worked for it. He had something to strive for. Right now, the team is low on confidence. He may have lost a yard of pace and he is low on confidence. So when you put all that together, you're thinking to yourself, like, now, let's see what... Because one thing I've always liked about Mane is his mentality. It's why I've always rated him as one of the world's best players. I don't just say it because of what he does on the ball. I feel like he's always had a different sort of mentality, mindset to even Mo Salah and Firmino. There's just times where I'm watching him, where, like last season, the season before, where he just wants it more than everyone else. And even when he scores, you can see that on his face. He loves it. So we can talk about this season and statistically, how many assists has Robbo got this season compared to the last two? How many assists has Trent got? How many? Let's have a look at the stats in all the broaden pitches for everyone else except Mo Salah's goals, because none of them really add up. So, you know, I think Alisson has already, at this point of the season, bear in mind there's like 9 games or however many left, has already conceded more goals now. And he's played less games. So it's like there's loads. But is he a worse goalkeeper? I don't know. Maybe it could be just the confidence thing. Because that's what I think it is. Because before 3 games ago, Alisson had never really made a mistake. Nothing crazy. In the past 4 or 5 games.
That's about it.
Yeah, but like you're picking and choosing massively when you're trying to find a mistake for Alisson. You can name 10 in the past 5-6 games. Confidence is a massive thing. It can't just be overlooked. But now this is where we find the difference of who's in the Mane in brigade and who's in the Mane out brigade. Because how do you look at a player just so now because he's having really one bad spell, he's done? Maybe that is for you. Or can he adapt? Which he's shown he can do before.
Cool. Look, guys, if you ever need someone to protect you, all I'm saying is I would just love for a woman to protect me the same way James protects a Sadio Mane. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm saying that when I'm saying he should be dropped. But let's see what he gets to bounce back. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I know people might say, like, oh, he's got a Mane agenda. Like, nah, it's not even that. It's not a Mane agenda at all. It's just, it's simply as something as, if we gave Firmino another chance for having a bad season last year, then we've got to give Mane another chance, surely.
Okay, so. Fair enough. And, okay, cool. So from one man who loves Mane to another man who loves Mane, Anik. We've got at length in our group chats talking about Sadio Mane, but I think when you look at the numbers, it is pretty damning. You can't deny that he has dropped off, unfortunately, and you've seen his performances on same way. What do you think has gone wrong? Are you in the same camp as James? Are you saying we need to give him another chance, or are you saying look, he's just fallen off a cliff now, and this is going to be it?
No, to be honest with you, I don't think he's fallen off a cliff, and I don't think that's it for him. I'm still going to back him. You know, I think the one thing about Sadio that I saw this season, probably up until the Spurs game when he faced Aurier, was he, I know I say this all the time, but he always gives the opposing fullbacks a torrid time. He's always there. He's always in their face. He's always trying to take them on, always giving them the run around. And I think even for the first half yesterday, we saw that. Now, what I think the problem is with Mane is, I know this sound, it might sound cliche, but I genuinely think he's burnt out. I really, really do. I think he's been playing 3-4 years now, constantly. Even throughout the summer, he went away on international duty. He only gets a 2-3 week break. And the fact that we've been so good across those seasons, James touched on it earlier, the confidence. And I think no matter how burnt out or physically what down you are, as long as you're playing well, you're winning, you're scoring, you can keep riding that wave and keep going and keep going and keep going. And now results have turned for us, turned dramatically for us. And he is probably trying a lot more things or trying things on the football pitch that are eventually not working for him. So you just kind of fall into that rhythm or that rut where you're like, oh, I need to try something different. I need to try to do this. I need to try to do that. And that could be one of the factors. Like, he could just be burnt out and you might just need a break or away or a timeout from the team just to sort of press the reset button and come back for a strong finish to the league. Now, I also touched on it earlier in the pod, his decision making needs to improve. Yesterday, those two chances, especially the one where it was one-on-one, we've seen him tuck that away. What he's trying to do, take on the keeper, I have no idea what he's doing there. The ball from Trent was perfect as well. We've just seen him like lash that home. Even previously, I think in the past couple of games, he had a couple of chances as well. And I'm just like, Sadio, you've buried that. So, yeah, I think it's a blend of decision making and being burnt out that's sort of affecting him here.
Got you. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, fair enough. Yes. Look, I am someone who you guys are better than me. Sometimes I get really pissed off. Like when someone's in a bad run of form, I'm saying to them, "Look, do the basics better." But he's not doing that, and it annoys me. But anyway, cool. You guys, cool. We're not a Mane out camp. We're not, right, Fahy?
No, we're not. We're 100% not. Let's see what happens till the end of the season. Let's see what opportunities we get in the summer window, and we can make a decision based off that.
Yeah, let's say that. I agree.
Cool. And before I say we look ahead as we start to wrap up, James, I just want to ask you one question on Mane. If you had to choose either one of Mane or Salah to fund a move for either Erling Haaland or Kylian Mbappe, who are you selling?
Salah, and not because I feel like he's closer to the end than Mane, but more so for the fact we're going to get more money for Salah. So we'll have more of a chance of being able to actually get the fucking players. You know what I'm saying? So Mo Salah, I feel like he's our biggest asset. Listen, isn't he the number one Muslim athlete in the world or something like that? So that in itself just adds value to his name as Mo Salah. So it's one of them things where if I was to choose one, Salah, but not really on ability, if I had to go off ability, then I feel like maybe Mane's closer. But at the end of the day, I've always felt like Mane's offered more than Salah. So it's however way you look at it type of thing. If we were definitely going to get one of them, maybe even Salah. Because overall, who do you think offers more? That's cool. The question that you've got to ask yourself type of thing. So I feel like Mane offers us more.
All right. Cool. Short and sweet. Lovely. Okay, so I'm gonna tempt fate again. Because I do this every time and Fahy hates me because of it. But I'm going to tempt fate again. Our next few games, guys, we have Arsenal away, we have Villa at home, and we have Leeds away. Yeah. Fabinho is back in the six, the lighthouse that he's been called. We've got the front three of Salah, Mane and Jota looking like they are actually producing goals, and a growing partnership at the back there with Kabak and Phillips. Fahy, can we secure top four, or is it too late?
No, we can. As long as we win the next three games, we're absolutely fine. Will we win the next three games? I have no idea. But yeah, let's see what happens. I don't have a clue, but we can. It's numerically possible. So yeah, we can.
Okay,
sweet. Anik, I feel like you're going to give me the answer that I expect, but are we going to secure top four?
Of course we are. And if we want to get into Europe next season, we're just going to do it the Liverpool way, and that's in style, and that's probably by winning the Champions League. So I'm not ruling that one out either. I'm still confident we can still get into the Champions League next year.
How typical of you. I ask you, we're going to secure top four, and you tell me that we're going to win the bloody Champions League. And James, last but not least, how about you, pal? Do you think we have enough in us to make a push for that top four?
No. No. It'd be absurd to think that. It'd be absurd if you thought that we had a chance to get in. No, would it be stupid? Because it's one of them things where you've got to rely on so many things for that to go right.
Mm.
You know, you're hoping on Fabinho staying fit, your top goal scorer staying fit, you're relying on all these different players staying fit, on top of being able to adapt to certain injuries. And I'm talking about injuries, but at the end of the day, we lose a player, we lose a lot in the squad at the moment, so we need to be aware of this, and we need to be aware that these are difficult sides. Even Wolves gave us a very difficult team. If Arsenal play the way they did against Tottenham, against us, then, mate, we've got a very difficult game on our hands, and, you know, other teams have got games in hand. There's just many things going against us. So if you're saying yes, you believe we can get top four, you're doing that based on the fact we've just won the league and we're Liverpool Football Club. You're not doing that based off logistics. If you remove the badge of all these teams and remove the names off all the players' backs, you're looking at the table for a logistical point of view. You're looking at this and you're thinking, nah, there's not a chance that team's getting into top four. You just wouldn't think it. Do you get what I'm saying? A lot needs to go right. And I think, when I say a lot, I mean maybe even win every single game between now and the end of the season to make sure that's definitely secure. Because Man United and Chelsea, there's a chance Leicester might drop out of it with the injuries and whatnot. There's a chance West Ham might not be able to get into that top four because can they keep it going? But Chelsea are looking strong, United are looking strong, and we're just going to need to get all the points we can.
Cool. In my own opinion, I just don't see Leicester and Chelsea dropping out, unfortunately. I think we'll just miss out. And I'm doing this for my own mental health, actually, because I can't get myself hyped up again for this club. That's definitely another reason. But yeah, okay, cool. Those are our thoughts, guys. We're gonna leave it there. We're gonna wrap up. I want to say thank you once again for James joining us on Coppa and Fracca. Thanks, as always, to Fahy and Anik for joining me here today. And guys, the Reds won a football game. We don't have to stress until April the 4th. Guys, enjoy your 2 weeks.
James, what do you want to plug?
James Redmond TV on the YouTube. James Redmond _96 on Instagram and Twitter. Boom.
Check it out. You won't be disappointed. Take care, guys, and see you next time. Peace.
Peace. Moments.